This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right. Always looking forward to talking, Mike. How are you doing?
Oh, thank you. I'm warm now. It's still winter outside, man.
You were explaining how cold it was outside.
Yeah, I know. And it was like a false spring about 2 hours ago. The sun came out, shined on me, and I felt warm for the first time in 4 months. Naturally warm.
Why does it always have to tease us that way?
I don't know.
Well, we got it good compared to most of the nation.
That's true. Daughter in Texas is, they're without everything. I mean, you know, it's like, and there's 4 million people in Texas that have no power.
Oh, that's terrible.
And all their windmills, their power-generating windmills are frozen, for goodness sakes. Can you imagine?
No.
Oh, I don't think oil freezes, but I could be wrong.
I don't know.
Anyway, well, this is a plant show.
Notice I didn't say anything.
I noticed, and you're okay. Don't worry about it. I'll defend you.
Oh, I discovered what plant that was outside my apartment.
Oh.
The neighbor knew. She planted it out there. It's an Easter lily.
Oh, is it coming up now? Or
Yeah.
And it doesn't bloom white?
Mm-hmm. With a yellow thing in the middle.
Yeah.
A little stem.
That's called a stamens.
Stamen. Okay.
S-T-A-M-E-N.
Okay. That's what it is.
Yeah. Well, good. You know, because, you can buy them in all the box stores around Easter time and all that. And most folks, they put them in the house, which is fine, everything else. But then when they kind of fade away, people throw them away. Mm-hmm. It's a bulb. You can go stick it in the ground and it grows.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
This one's doing well.
Good. Hey, well, thanks for listening today. It's a cold kind of in between spring and winter day, but that's okay. We're going to get there. I saw the sun today. It still exists, and it was warm. I was warm for, 10 minutes, I'll bet, and it was great. I didn't get sunburned, though, thankfully.
Oh, didn't have to use your sun lens.
No, I didn't have to use any sunscreen or nothing. I just looked right at that sun. Anyway, if you have a question about anything in your yard, plants, lawns, trees, shrubs, how to prune them, how to fertilize them, how to cut them down, whatever you want to do, feel free to ask the question. No matter what I'm talking about, I will interrupt my train of thought. You ask your question, I'll give you an answer, and we're good to go. And it'll be a true answer, I guarantee it.
In fact, you can do it right now.
Right now. And if you want to, call 673-4464. 673-4464. I'm not going to repeat that anymore. I'm sorry. Anyway, today, I want to talk about one of my favorite things in the whole plant world, and that's bonsai.
Oh, yeah.
Bonsai is an art form that is several centuries old, with its beginnings in China. Of all places, and then later moving on to Japan. And in common language, it is simply a dwarfed plant growing in a container.
Mm-hmm.
Bone, the first part, bonsai, is translated as tray or a pot, and sai means to plant. So the word is pronounced bonsai. Many people mispronounce the word as bonsai. It is not bonsai. Bonsai is the word that comes from World War II.
Uh-oh.
When Japanese pilots dove their airplanes into American battleships at Pearl Harbor. And that was their war cry. Bonsai! Well, doing this with plants is not bonsai. It's bonsai.
What does that mean? Bullseye?
Yeah, bonsai. I know, bullseye. I'm not sure. But anyway, it's a great hobby. It's a great learning process. It's not just a small plant in a pot, but a plant that appears to be old, mature and pruned in such a way as a work of art. In other words, you create this thing. I mean, there are natural bonsai, of course, that you can dig in the wilds and take home and try. But when done properly, it looks like it came off a cliff that's hanging out over the ocean that gets battered by the winds and the and the ocean spray with gnarled, weathered branches. And it's, you know, just kind of wild looking. But it is natural, exotic art. How's that? That's my definition of it.
That's better than what I was thinking about.
Well, don't you dare say anything like that on my radio show. But the first depiction of bonsai plants comes from the Tang Dynasty, which was like AD 760. That's a long time ago. Ooh, wow. They were doing bonsai back in those days. And there was a cultural link between China and Japan. And Japan got interested in bonsai and began to create them. And that was around AD 618. We're getting, you know, almost into modern times here. And so for hundreds of years, Japanese practitioners built upon the Chinese styles. You know, they saw what the Chinese were doing and their rare plants that they did. And these rare plants, the emperors of China, they were works of art. And they had some very old, unique ones. And I've seen photos of them. I've not seen one in real life up close, but I've seen photos of them. And they were very valuable to the Chinese emperors and the hierarchy, if you will, as real works of art, natural art. And I think some of them even had some kind of a religious connotation attached to them. They worked on them for many, many years. And so when the Japanese and them kind of became friendly there for a while, the Japanese saw these dudes and said, hey, you know, we can do that. And the Japanese, of course, were a little bit different in their approach to bonsai. They were fond of wild trees that were growing out in the boondocks that were weathered and unusual with gnarled crooked branches, you know, kind of bent around in a circle and just bordering on ugly, but not really. Ugly would be not the correct word. I don't have a word for it, but very ancient appearance. And then the Japanese evolved as the masters of the bonsai world. They took it to like the next step. And now Japan is the world's leader in bonsai. And one thing about Japan, at least later here in later years, is that they don't have large yards like we do. They have a very small piece of property. If they have a house or even an apartment or whatever, they'll have a little garden area, maybe 10 by 12 or 10 by 15 or something like that. Yeah. So small miniature plants are what they concentrate on, and they may have a waterfall or some kind of a water feature, then it's decorated with these bonsai plants. And so that's their yard, whereas we here in America have, you know, large lots in comparison. You know, Japan's only so big in the cities, and of course
they tried to expand.
Well, they did, but they didn't work. At any rate, it wasn't until 1901 until the Western world caught on to bonsai.
Oh.
Yeah, and they go, whoa, man, what's that? And by 1907, there was a bonsai collection at Windsor Castle in London.
Oh.
And this was the open door to a bonsai display at a London exhibition in 1909. So they were working on this. Some of the plant guys that thought, hey, this is cool. Let's do this. Let's do that. And so finally, they had a good collection. So they opened it up to the public, and the public went in and went, whoa, look at this, the bonsai. They probably said bonsai, but you know,
probably.
It was bonsai. So now the first practitioners of bonsai in the United States were Japanese Americans who immigrated to this country and brought the art of bonsai with them when they began to settle on the West Coast. But the big surge came after World War II, and that began a widespread exposure into our country. There was, you know, the GIs and sailors and whatever that were in that part of the world saw these things. Yeah. And so consequently, I'm sure there was a few smuggled out of Japan and put in their sea bag or something,
right,
and brought to the United States because they were cool. And they thought, hey, this is really neat. So that's when it really, you know, between the Japanese that moved here to the West Coast, they primarily were on the West Coast, and moved here and brought the art with them, and those that were, I won't say confiscated, but at least probably taken some from Japan when they came back from World War II.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, that and as that is exposed, more and more people see it, and so consequently, more and more people get interested in it. And today, in our world, in this year, you'd be amazed at how many folks, well, first of all, they go, wow, what is that? How did you do that? What do you call that? You know, I get those questions a lot at the nursery.
Yeah.
And, but then there's a fairly large population or part of the population that's into bonsai. And you'll find it probably in where people live in a condo and they may not have a yard, but they have a deck or they have a patio, excuse me. And, you know, they want some plant material. So consequently they'll have potted plants and then occasionally they'll stumble on bonsai and have that kind of thing. So
they really don't take a whole lot of care.
No, they don't. They're very easy. And of course depends on the type that you want to experiment with. and I can talk about, I'm going to talk about that a little bit later, but, most bonsai are hardy material. If you're interested in it, you have to learn, you know, what types of plants will do best in our area for bonsai that I don't have to be worried about. In other words, I could go away for a week and the thing's not going to die.
There.
It's still there when I get home. You know, you water it before you leave and you're gone a week and you water it when you come home. I mean, they're okay.
Wow.
As long as you don't put them out in the middle of the driveway and on the blacktop where they get to be 110 all day and somebody runs
over them.
Right. That kind of thing. But as nowadays, you can see bonsai coast to coast. And finally, the East Coast folks actually caught on to it. They're a little slow, but they get there eventually. But, you know, as interest has increased, you see more and more of this happening. Of course, now you see, you know, 20, even 30 years ago, you didn't see a lot of bonsai in box stores. I mean, they had plants and they sold, you know, the regular run-of-the-mill plants that everybody buys in the spring, blah, blah, blah. But you didn't see much bonsai. So, but nowadays you can go into Lowe's or Home Depot into their plant department and walk into the inner part, not out in the parking lot where they got a lot of plants, but into the inner part where they've got, oh, dishes and bowls and pots and things like that. And you'll see a few of these bonsai in there. And they look good. You know, I don't know that anybody that's selling that product at the box store could actually tell you how to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one way to get started. And I've got several other suggestions on how to get started with these things. But like I say, the coast-to-coast interest has really increased, and it's just a fun thing. It's an artsy kind of deal. I'm not a painter. I'm not an artist. My wife's an artist, but I'm not. And but I can do things with plants that she can't do.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, it's cool.
And
that
she
way.
Can cook, and you probably can't.
I'm a good cook.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Yeah. I'm a good cook. I don't do it very often, but I'm a good cook. I had to learn how to cook at an early age because of certain ways my family operated.
Gotcha.
You know.
Yep.
Oh, geez.
Here's a good time for a break.
Okay, let's take a break.
Let's do it. More with Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show here in a couple on News Radio 1240 KQAM.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Oh, that last promo was kind of humorous. I hadn't heard it before. It is 4:23, and we're back with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on a Wednesday. What's the date? 17th.
17th, my brother Steve's birthday.
What, is he older or younger?
Oh, he's so old.
Is he?
No, he's younger than me.
Okay.
By about 6 years, 10 months, and 4 days.
And 2 hours.
An hour and a half. Anyway, I'm talking about bonsai and, you know, what good it is and how much fun it is. And you wonder, well, why the interest in this thing? Well, bonsai is a combination of art. It's a combination of history and gardening, all wrapped up into a miniature tree or a miniature shrub. It's totally cool and unique. And once you've started and once you've seen what you can do and what you can accomplish, you really get interested in that. I've got, between my home and the nursery, I've probably got 20 or a good 20 of them that are really mature, and then I've got probably another 40 under construction, if you will. And,
wow.
And when you say under construction, it takes a few years to develop a bonsai to where it's worthy of putting it into an expensive bonsai pot. Otherwise, you keep it in a plastic pot till it looks like something. But, you know, like if you have a, like I said earlier, if you live in a condo or an apartment and you have a bonsai garden on your deck, you've got no real yard work to hassle with. You
that's
know,
it's, nice.
Yeah, it's, you know, it takes you 5 minutes a week to take care of your bonsai.
My kind of garden work.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm right now I've been talking about outdoor bonsai, but you can also do bonsai with indoor plants. And one of my favorite indoor plants to do bonsai with is the jade plant, because it lends itself to that exotic, gnarled kind of ancient look.
Yeah.
Not initially, but as you prune it and shape it, and it grows and thickens in structure and the trunk material, it really looks good. And it's an indoor plant, and it's tough. And for the most part, any bonsai I do is tough. Now, I've tried a few of the sissy plants, and I even did a geranium one time just to see if I could do it.
Yeah.
You know, the geraniums, they bloom in the spring, and when the frost hits them, and they die down. Well, I thought, let me try a geranium here. And I pruned that puppy way down, and I put it in a little tiny bowl, a little tiny dish, and it did well. Grew new leaves, and I kept pruning it, and it was looking really cool. And fall came along,
uh-oh,
and it was still growing and everything.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, I'll just put it in a greenhouse. But in the meantime, this freezing front came down unexpectedly.
Yeah.
And the next day when I saw it, it was shriveled. It was gone.
It was gone.
It was toast, man. There was no bringing that puppy back.
I'm out of here. It's too dang
cold. Yeah, I'm out of here. Leave me alone. But to start your bonsai, all you need is some basic plant knowledge and a wild imagination. The more you can, you know, look at that and say, hey, what do I want to create with this? What can I do with this? How can I make it, older looking, more gnarled, just kind of unique? It's, you take a plant and you kind of, well, you prune it in such a way that it doesn't look like what it would look like if it was growing in your garden outside in the ground. And that's kind of the character of it all. It's just different. And again, that's where your imagination comes in. What do I want to see this look like? What do I want to create with it? And how do I go about it? So picture a tree that's very old and gnarled and bent and windswept and just kind of the bark is scarred and it looks like it's going to drop over any second. Perfect bonsai.
Nice.
And so let your sharp pruners highlight all these the bad things you might think. Well, just take your pruners and prune them up a little bit. Take and scar the trunk up a little bit, and do some things that you would not normally do to a plant, and you'll see that it will heal itself. Where you scar it, it'll heal itself.
Take your aggressions out on
it. Exactly. And where it heals itself, it doesn't heal back smooth. It kind of bumpy and gnarled, so that adds to the look of very old. And you know, like I say, scar the trunk with, take your pruners and just kind of take a strip of trunk out on one side, and within a couple of years, that's all healed back, but it doesn't heal smooth and like the rest of it. It's kind of bumpy and it's kind of rough. It just adds to the the look of ancient age. How's that? And you try. Don't be afraid to try stuff. Don't be afraid to prune. Don't be afraid to wire it up. There's a whole show on just wiring wiring bonsai. You do it with copper wire, and let's say you have a branch that's straight out to the side and it's kind of plain looking, but you want it to be twisty, you want it to turn around, you want it to go up or go down. Well, you get copper wire, and there's, you know, that's the very easy to put the copper wire on the branch, and you put it on loosely, not real loose, but not real tight. And then you bend the branch in whatever direction you want. You can bend it sideways and down and then back up again. And you keep it that way for, maybe 3, maybe 4 years. And then you take the wire off and the branch grows that way. And it just has a whole different look to it,
it's
shape.
Kind of like that old song, bend me, shape me, any way you want me.
That's right, bingo, you hit it, man. That's a bonsai song. Yeah, so with your scarred trunk and your bent over branches, hey, you're on the road to success. But in the meantime, buy a book on bonsai with photos of plants before and after, and you'll soon get the idea of what I'm talking about. Or talk to somebody that actually does it, that has a few that you can look at. And everybody that I know that does bonsai is glad to talk about it and say, yeah, this is what I did 5 years ago, and this is what happened here, and this is, you know, this is why I bent this way. And you get the drift. No, not everybody's going to like this. Not everybody's going to get into it. But it's different. For you gardener types out there, this is different, baby. So
why not try it?
Yeah, try it. Try it and see what you can come up with. See what your creativity can actually do. Now, my first one, and I've talked about this in the past, my first one was a dwarf mugopine. You know, that's a dime a dozen. They're all over Roseburg, Douglas County. You know, they're just green and full, and people never
prune. Nobody ripped this one off.
Yeah, this is the one that got ripped off.
Yes.
And when I was at a plant nursery up north buying some, I was buying some trees and things, and there was a semi-truck in this nursery, and it had run over some plants. I mean, the guy didn't see it. The plants were too close to the big tires, and a couple of plants got run over. And I saw they just kind of kicked them all to the side, and I was looking at them because I couldn't get past the semi. And I was out of my truck looking at them, and I saw this one. It looked like the semi ran right over the middle of it. It was flat. And it was the main trunk was split. And there was, you know, one side of the tree went one way and the other side went the other way. Oh. But at the bottom of the trunk, it was still attached. It was only split at the top part. And so I asked the nursery guy, I said, hey, what are you going to do with this? He said, oh, I'm going to throw it away. It's no good. I said, well, can I have it? He said, yeah, take it. I went, ha-ha, bonsai.
And I can fix this.
Yeah, I can fix this. I'm going to try to fix it and see what happens. So I took it home. Of course, I didn't have any of the real stuff to fix it with, so I took masking tape and I held the split tight, and I put masking tape around it about three or four layers, so that it was I lined it up so that it would hopefully heal.
Yeah.
And within two growing seasons, it had healed and the masking tape had started to disintegrate and was falling off. And what appeared was this gnarled, beautiful trunk that it looked like it was 100 years old. And then I was pruning the top, and I was pruning it so it would grow horizontally and really butchering it, actually. I didn't let it too much. And so I had this windswept Mugo pine. And as I was pruning, of course, the trunk diameter increased till, oh, gosh, it was maybe 2 inches in diameter and had branches going every which way. And it finally grew out of the pot that it was in. And so I bought a really nice bonsai pot, and I planted it in that. And then I had it at the nursery, and it was just beautiful. And there were several inquiries about, oh, what's that, and how'd you do that, blah, blah, blah. And I think I had it for, oh, gosh, $49.95 or something. And there were several people that were interested in it, but said, only $49.95, huh? That's beautiful. But they didn't get around to buying it, and they left, so right away I'd raise the price. and pretty soon it was $149.95. And people were still asking about it, because by now I'd had it about 7-8 years, and it was really looking cool, man. It looked like something right out of Japan, you know, the bonsai master had been working on for 100 years.
Yeah.
It was neat.
Miyagi or whatever.
Yeah, Mr. Miyagi was doing it. So it was still, like I say, still interest, but I didn't want to sell it. It was just too cool to sell. I wanted to keep it.
Yeah.
So I put a price on it of $125,000. I said, I know nobody will buy it for that. And if they do, I'll go on a worldwide trip and collect about 100 more, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it was, by that time, you know, I've had it, you know, 10, 12 years at that time. I came in to work one day. It was missing.
Oh, no.
It was missing. Oh. The pot was still there. Whoever stole it took it out of the pot and stole my $125,000 bonsai.
Moron.
And I thought, it's probably some druggie that took it out thinking, yeah, well, $125,000, I can get some money out of this.
I can get a lot of drugs for this.
Yeah, boy. And so I drove up and down the highway really slow, looking in the ditches, figure they might, you know, just throw it in the ditch or something. You know,
yeah,
maybe they were just vandalizing it and getting rid of it or something, just trying to hurt me. And so I went up and down the ditches several times for about a half a mile, and I never found it. So whoever got it took it home, apparently, or sold it to one of his buddies. I'm not sure.
What? Yeah.
Or maybe they smoked it.
Hey, buddy, this is worth $125,000.
Yeah. What do you think of this, huh? Oh, gosh.
I think you got took.
Oh, man. But you know, when you find one that's split in half and run over a semi, and I just had a vision for it. I thought, wow, you know, I could make something out of that. And like I said, I didn't know very much at the time.
Yeah.
But I thought, I'll give it a shot. I'll give it a try. And it worked out really well. It was gorgeous. And
until somebody else had an eye.
Yeah,
for
somebody
it.
Else said, oh, yeah, $125,000. I'll steal that sucker and sell it to a bonsai aficionado or something.
What idiot.
So they actually thought it was valuable.
Oh, gosh. All right. We'll be back with more of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All righty. We had a caller there on hold, but I guess they had other things to get done.
Well, if you want to call back, 673-4464, we'll take your call. We had, you know, these commercial things get in the way of a radio show, so you got to kind of keep them in there. So. At any rate, I'm talking about bonsai today,
yep.
And you know, to this day, whenever I go to a nursery, they keep their bad plants out out away from their good plants. In other words, they don't mix them up. And they're all out there in the back 40, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that are a little crooked or bent over or half dead. I always go out there and I kind of look through the pile and say, that might be something good. That might be something good. And then normally when I bring it up to the counter or to the person, the salesperson, I say, what are you going to do with this old pine tree? Oh, you know, it, you know, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, do you want anything for it? No, take it if you want it. Get it out of here. You save me the problem. Okay. You know, because I already got it pictured as what it can be in 5 years, you know. And it would be fun just to do that. If I didn't have to do anything else, I could occupy myself doing bonsai. That.
It's kind of like a antique car person.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm not a mechanic by any stretch of the imagination.
Me neither.
But I can make a plant do a lot of things.
Yeah. And,
you know. But bonsai from nature, in other words, that which you don't find in a nursery or in a museum or something like that, the wild ones, you know, that's for a lot of my bonsai. I go into the mountains up at about, 5,000-6,000 feet of elevation up by Mount Thielson, Mount Bailey, you know, and other places. And my favorite area is really at the base of Mount Thielson, where the ground is.
The caller is back.
Okay, we got a caller.
Hey, you're on the air with Mike.
Hello.
Hi, Mike. Appreciate you so much. One of the things I was going to tell you is a tip that I used learning growing up doing bonsai.
Before we get going here, could you turn your radio down just a hair or two? We're getting
Sorry.
That's okay.
Please forgive me.
No problem. Just.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I worked last night, and I'm as dumb as a box of rocks. Sorry.
No problem.
Hey, one of the things is really useful to use for bonsai and for almost any other indoor plant that you want to go for a long time is to have a shallow dish or a shallow plate or a shallow something that's full of little gravel that you put water into, and then you put your plant on top of it. And it draws, it has a humid atmosphere and has a way to get water into the bottom of your clay bonsai pot.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct on that, John.
Well, I love you, Mike. I'm just saying amen to you. That's all.
Okay.
I've been doing bonsai. I've got 60-year-old bonsais. That,
Good.
I went over to Japan to do a particular class, and I lived there for a year, and and I got to go to some of their places, and I saw stuff that was, I saw bonsai that was 400 years old.
Oh yeah, I've seen some of that right there in the state of Washington at the Weyerhaeuser headquarters building.
And that's one of the most beautiful places to see it. I'm so happy for you.
Absolutely.
I wish you and your family the best.
Well, thank you, John. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. All right, that opens up the lines once again.
We got open lines. You may call 673-4464.
That's it.
But I was beginning to tell you about my my favorite areas to collect natural bonsai or trees that have been bent over, hit by other trees that are, you know, been squashed for 10 years but still continue to grow. Those are the kinds of trees I like to get. And, you know, the ground is pretty rough up in there. And, of course, snow can be 7 feet deep in the winter. But these guys are still alive, and the growing season is very short, you know, maybe a month or two.
If that.
And in this environment, you find trees, like I say, that are maybe 2-3 feet tall and are 40 years old already, and they're only 2 feet tall. And as you're walking through them, and you just kind of walk slowly, and I mean, there's literally hundreds of them out there. Hmm. And they have been twisted and dwarfed by nature. They look old, they look beat up, and they make perfect bonsai. And according to me, they make perfect bonsai. And like I say, there's hundreds of them to choose from. And over the years, I've become very choosy about what I dig up. It's better to get 5 superb specimens than 20 or more. When I first started, I go, wow, there's a good one, and dig that up. Well, there's another good one, and dig that up. And I'd have 20 in my truck before I knew it. But then you got to take them back, repot them, and play with them, and grow them, and do all that. And pretty soon, you got way too many to take care of, you know, if you're real busy. So I got real picky after a while, and I would walk miles up through that country just looking, and you know, very slow, sometimes just stop and scan the area, do a 360 and scan the area, and bingo, there you'd find one. You'd see where a bigger tree had fallen over years ago, and there were seedlings underneath it, and say some of the seedlings died, but there would be a few that lived, and they're stretching for the sun, and they might be under this 12-inch diameter trunk from an old hemlock or something,
yeah.
and they squeeze up, and there's a little bit of light, and they grow, and you start poking around in there, and you look, and you see the trunk is maybe inch in diameter, but the tree's only a foot tall, but it's growing sideways. Ah, perfect. That's what I want. So, and the tree that fell on it is, you know, maybe half rotten at that time. So it's easy to move, you got a shovel or an axe, and just get it out of the way and dig the southern one up very carefully. And I like to do it in areas where the pumice soil is the major soil in the area, because when I have special shovels that are round point shovels, but they're flat, there's no curvature to the shovel at all, and you know, you sharpen them up so that they are so sharp you can shave with. Well, you get into an area with pumy soil, and that sharp shovel just goes down and cuts the roots very cleanly. And when you cut roots cleanly, the tree and the pumy soil just pops right out, and then the ball of roots is perfect. You don't have any damaged roots or anything. Mm-hmm. They're just a clean cut, and those are the ones that make it. You know, if you got to bang on the roots and play and try to, you know, jerk it out of the soil, then you're going to start to have problems. It may live, it may not live, and I've had some that didn't live because I jerked it out of the soil, but because I couldn't dig it. But the ones in the pumy soil, so I'm very particular on where I actually hunt for bonsai. And, you know, you get 5 good ones, 6 good ones or something like that you know you can actually pot and work with and see a future in them. And those are the fun ones. Those are the ones that are, you know, they're like ready-made. They're really old anyway. They might be, like I say, 20 years old or 30 years old, and are only a foot, 18 inches tall.
Yeah.
But the trunk is 3 inches in diameter. Ah, that's what you want.
Perfect.
So you do a little pruning to expose more of the trunk and leave a little bit of foliage. And within a year or two, as those the pruning cuts heal over and you've got it in a nice pod, it's a beautiful specimen.
Nice.
It really looks good.
Yeah.
But... being choosy is really what you should do. Now, I've in all the times I've collected the wild bonsai, only one of them has died on me, and that was the one I was just telling you about where I pulled it out by the roots because it was on a cut bank. It was one of the roads up there, and it was a cut bank, pretty steep, and I saw this thing was hanging out. It was a pine tree. It was a lodgepole pine. It was hanging out, and it was about 2 feet tall, long, because it was going sideways, and it had some real curves and bumps to it. And I thought, man, I need that. What a cool one that would be. So I climbed up this slope, slipping and sliding, and I tried to dig it, but I couldn't because it was just so rocky.
Oh.
So I just kind of loosened what I could, and then I pulled it out and bare rooted it. And then I took it right down to the truck, and I covered it with wet mulch because I always had wet mulch with me, and covered it with wet mulch and got it back to the nursery, potted it up. But within 2 months, it went bye-bye. You know, I just because when you pull them out like that, you're ripping a lot of roots, you're ripping, you're doing a lot of damage to it. So that's why I stick in the better soil areas because you can get a good ball of roots, you know. And the ones that I've dug, like I say, most every one that I've dug is still alive in those areas. It's good. One Oh, yeah. And I dig early in the fall. Like early in the fall is like Labor Day or right after Labor Day before any significant snows hit.
Yeah.
And one time, though, however, I went up on Labor Day weekend, and it was raining here in Roseburg. And it was, you know, 50 degrees raining. Mm-hmm. Well, I got to the spot where I knew I was headed to.
Right.
And it was snowing. And I thought, this is not bad, you know, a little bit of snow. It's cold, you know, dormancy has already been, because it freezes up there in high elevations early on. So once it's frozen, once there's a severe freeze, you know, growth stops. It's going, the plant's dormant.
Gone south.
Yeah, and so I thought, well, there was probably, oh gosh, you know, 3-4 inches of snow on the ground. But the trail, I knew where the trail was. I'd been up that trail before and started walking up that trail and looking and kind of knocking the snow off some of them. And I spotted one. And, well, I was probably maybe a quarter mile up the trail, maybe a little bit more. Yeah. But it was really snowing hard. And I dug up this one and I turned around. I couldn't find a trail.
Uh-oh.
It would, like, disappeared. And, you know, this is heavy timber. you don't see no sky because it's snowing. So
yikes.
I momentarily lost my directions, but fortunately I looked up on and one of the trees there was a blaze. So I walked from that tree to the next blazed tree, which was, you know, 100 feet away, 50 feet away, but I was only up a quarter mile. So I eventually made it back to my rig. But, you know, had I gone up further up the hill and, you know, really started snowing, I'd still be up there.
That'll so, get your heart pumping.
Yeah, you got to pay attention. You really got to pay attention.
All right. We'll be right back. Paying attention.
Yes, we're paying attention to the clock.
News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
We're still here, aren't we?
I hope so. I think I am.
You're just sitting here looking at me like, go, go.
Yeah, what's wrong with you, Dale? Come on, hurry up. I've been talking about getting wild bonsai up in the high elevation country. Okay, and here's though, prior to going up there, the first thing you need to do is get a permit from the Forest Service.
Yes.
Don't go up there digging trees and putting them in your truck without a permit, because you never know, one of them smoky bear dudes is going to pull up and say, hey, what you got in your truck, man?
Yeah, what you got there behind that seat?
Yeah, well, I see these branches hanging out of your truck. What, have you been logging?
Yeah.
You know, but it's
good. Need a permit for that, too.
Yeah. And you can get a permit to dig up to 25 trees. Yeah. And last time I got a permit, I think it was $15-$20, that's all. And, you know, hey, okay, I don't
You said
mind.
That's for about 5 trees?
Yeah, but I didn't. You could have gotten 25 trees for that permit, but I only got 5. I only wanted 5.
Yeah.
Five really good ones. So I spent a lot of time looking until I got the 5 that I wanted. So it's permit to do the permit thing, and because you can't argue with them, they're the government, and even if you got a crooked little tree that'll never be a timber specimen, you're still breaking the law apparently, or going against regulation or however they term it. But anyway,
I know how I term it. But.
Yeah, well, don't say it on my radio show. But. By fall, you know, most evergreens are dormant, so it's safe to dig them. And like I said earlier, some of the easiest digging is in the areas of pumice soil. And there are a lot of flat places up there. I mean, you'll find the pumy soil in flat places. You go over the crest of the Cascades, past the Crater Lake Junction, and there's a road or two that goes off to the left, to the north, and you can go back in there, and it's all flat for, 100 acres or more, and walk through. It's easy walking, and basically it's lodgepole pine and mountain hemlock, and it's really wide open. It's not real thick forest, and so you can wander around there and find a lot of good bonsai in there. And easy digging, and it's like I say, you get a good sharp shovel, sharpen it, you know, put it on a grinding wheel or a hand file or something like that, and get it good and sharp. So when you cut through that soil, it's a clean cut, and then you got a nice root ball.
Yeah.
And anyway, I was up there, oh gosh, in the Tipso Peaks area. Close to that area, and my brother and I had been digging around and getting these trees, and he took a load down to the truck. By this time, I'm maybe a quarter mile up this mountain, and I'm walking down, kind of thinking, I'll get one or two on the way down, and all of a sudden, I spot this one. Oh. I go, oh, no. It had three trunks. It was about 3 feet tall. Had three trunks, and what had happened is an old tree had fallen in the middle of this, and over the years, this tree had grown.
Grown around it.
Yeah, grown around it.
Wow.
And so I tested the soil. It was pumy soil, easy to dig. I dug it, and the ball was about 24 inches across and about 18 inches deep, but pumy soil's light. So I called down to my brother. He's down at the truck now loading up. I says, make room in the truck and come on up here. I need your help. Because it took both of us to carry it down the hill.
Oh, man.
You know, and it had three different distinct trunks. And that was probably, that was a good 20 years ago I got that. Still alive today. I put it in I built a redwood box for it.
Yeah.
It's still alive. It looks good. Takes very little care. And is absolutely gorgeous. And I did a test on a tree that was adjacent to it that was almost half dead, and I cut it to count the rings and compare the ages.
Mm-hmm.
And I estimate my tree is 125 years old.
Wow!
Right now. Yeah,
cool.
Yeah,
that's
because you couldn't see the rings unless you had a magnifying glass to see where they were and then count them.
Okay.
So we counted them. And it's a great. Are we done?
No, I was going to say before we go, I got a quick question.
Yes.
I was listening to another talk show on a different radio station within the family group here, and they said that deer will eat evergreen trees.
Yeah, they'll nibble.
Will they?
Oh, yeah.
I never heard of such a thing.
Well, they'll nibble on it, yeah, especially seedlings. They're tender.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought they were full of...
Yeah, they're full of...
whatever that is. Well, I didn't know that. I was making fun of them, and I was wrong.
Yeah, you were wrong there. Oh.
We'll catch you next time.
All right.
Take care, Mike.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye.